Welcome to Podcastville. The Church of What's Happening Now is brought to you by Squarespace, all right? Listen to me. Create a beautiful website. Turn your cool idea into a new website. You could showcase your work. You could blog. You could publish content on it. You could sell products and services of all kinds and promote your physical and online business. You can announce an upcoming event, a special project, and a lot more. Listen, head over to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Use the offer code CHURCH to save you 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com. Now, I said when you're ready to launch. The time is now. You've been thinking about this. You've been wanting to do it. The time is now. It's today. Go to squarespace.com right now. Enter CHURCH and get 10% off your first purchase. And let's get this idea flowing, all right? Because it's been sitting in your brain forever, and nobody else is going to push it like your Uncle Joey. Number two, you know what? I love to shave in the shower. For years, I was one of these fucking mooks that shaved after you brush your teeth. And then you cut yourself 82 fucking times.
Yeah.
You ever go in the shower, you put the steam on nice, you put the earplugs on. Next thing you know, you shave, it's like butter. You're fucking beautiful. You know why I love to shave? Because I use Harry's. That's why. It's beautiful. The blade, the shave, the comfortable glide. Maronami. You wouldn't believe how nice it is. Look at what Harry's is doing for you right now. Harry's so confident, you're going to love their blades. They're going to give you a trial shave set for free. That's how Uncle Joey works it. Free, gratis, nothing on the arm, a Muldoon for free when you sign up at harrys.com/church. And you're just going to pay for shipping. That's it. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today, $13 value for free when you sign up just for cover shipping. I'm going to send you a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision blades, rich lathering shave gel, and you ready for this one? A travel blade cover. Who's better than Uncle Joey? You? Come on. To get your free trial, go to harrys.com/church right now. That's harrys.com/church. Lee, stick a finger in that mule's ass. It's Wednesday, cocksucker. Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? Uncle Joey, Sam Tripoli, the Christ Killer. Lee, raise this motherfucker. I want the speakers to light up. The devil's in the house.
I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I done said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong
line. Are you fucking kidding me?
I've been on the right trail, but it must have used the wrong car. Hit us in a bad place. I wonder what's good for. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. My head is in a bad place.
When's the last time you heard this fucking monster?
I've been running trying
little Dr. John
up in my mind. Just got to give myself a good talking to this time. Doesn't need a little brain salad surgery. Got to cue my insecurity.
Oh shit!
Must have been the right time. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong song. I've been in the right place, but it seems like wrong on.
Dropping on you motherfuckers on a Thursday morning. Who the fuck you think you're swinging with today? You want to get up and sling dick, or you want to get up and walk around like a fucking zombo like every day? It's the church of what's happened now, cocksuckers. My little brother, Sammy Trips, and my other little brother, fucking. The fucking main Christ Killer. Last week, Lee and I were sitting here after a podcast, stoned to the gills. And he said something that he had done one of Tripoli's shows and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you know, man, I got to tell you, Tripoli's a bit crazy, but he's a really good guy. And this is, you know, he's just a young kid.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm
sitting, I am crazy.
I'm sitting in that chair and I go, you know what, man? Call him what you want. He's been here for 20 years swinging, like Pete Rose, diving, you know, sometimes people show. For a while, he had chicks on stage, a midget on a bicycle, that poor kid that you made him lose 100 pounds in the bunny suit. You broke that poor kid. That motherfucker was left here like Owen Benjamin, lost 100 pounds, stopped drinking. He was selling souvenirs in Hollywood. He just broke that poor bastard.
That poor Skippy, kid. I love him.
Yeah, where is he?
I don't know, man. He got mad at me for a while. I don't know, dude.
He he took it still. Like, he went to fucking, like, psychiatry. That, you know.
Some dudes go deep. So, like, you go deep and you come back. Some people don't come back.
I respect the fuck out of guys like you in this town. I respect the fuck out of comics that have stayed pure to their game. Because every once in a while you see, like, a good friend of your comic, and he's like, did I tell you I was going to direct a film? And, you know, here's another one.
Yeah.
Straight the humble off the brag. Reservation. The humble brag that's not going nowhere. Yeah. In other words, he's telling you, I'm not going to do comedy no more because I'm going to do this. I'm not going to put that much focus on it because you gave up. You saw what the fuck this war was about. This is fucking apocalypse now, bitch.
Yeah, dog.
This is apocalypse now. I am sick and fucking tired of people thinking that you just stroll into fucking California and they hand you a spot at the store or you're
this
entitled.
This ain't 85.
Like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
You have to dog it out here. You know, the best thing I ever did the last 10 years for myself was go to that fourth wall with Lee Syatt. I thank him every fucking day because it made me even more of a Jew. Like, it made me even worse because it remembered what it felt like when you lived in Vegas.
Be in the trenches.
You forget. Like, you forgot about it.
Yeah.
Go to, like, a stringy open mic where there's no booze, nothing. Look at their hearts. Look at their eyes. And go, this used to be me.
Yeah.
Thinking of being where I am today.
Yeah.
Dreaming.
Yeah.
Sitting in a room with six of those guys going, you know what? Out of us six, it's going to be me in 20 years. That takes fucking balls and persistence. And I called you like a lunatic. Yeah. I was high as fuck.
I get that, but that's cool.
Me and Lee were high as fuck. And I go, you know what, bro? You're crazy, but you're still here.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people that came into this town that were going to light this town on fire with reputations, that they're gone. And I see a lot of people that got fake reputations because, listen, these people that you see in ho-ho and hee-hee, they ain't at the store hand-to-hand combat anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the Improv is a great club and a great chain, and the Laugh Factory is a great club and a great chain. But get caught up at the Comedy Store on a Tuesday night behind Chris D'Elia after Bobby Lee went on stage. And you're fucking hard. I threw this fucking savage on stage at the original room just
to
show.
The OR, dude.
So, well, how long did you do?
7 minutes, I think. Seven
What'd
and a half
you
minutes.
Think? What
it was dude, I, like, first of all,
did you hate me afterwards?
No,
were
I
love.
I was,
I mean,
like, it was, and I tried to talk about it, and the crowd didn't like it. Like, I was trying to get a little sentimental at the beginning because that I came there before I even
but
met
they
you.
Applaud, did you?
No, they liked me. They liked me when
they
I did stand up. When I started doing jokes, but they like I went up and I was just like, hey man, this is really cool for me. Like this is my first time at the store. I came here as a tourist, and it was silent. Like it wasn't good at all. But then I went in and I started with a few jokes that I have, and I was fucked up. I was kind of high, so half of like I think like maybe half to three quarters was the jokes, and the rest of it was I was a little high, which the church people love, but. It was of course. And
you're
like,
one of the most loved dudes I know.
Well, when you get on stage, it really, it's funny what happens to comedians when they see somebody else on stage. Like now you're a Marine. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If I don't know you and I walk into a place and I see you in a Chinese restaurant dying on stage, when you walk off that stage, I'm going to shake your hand.
Yeah.
Nobody else. I'm going to really shake your hand and go, I've been there.
Right.
I know what it is to get on stage when people are eating and they won't look at you.
And like that.
You don't know what abuse is.
And I was trying to say that, but I didn't want the store's pretty cool. And I didn't want any of like the door guys or young comics to think who've been doing it for years longer than me that I was taking that like that opportunity for granted. And no, it was
I don't think anyone would ever think that.
No,
it was one of the coolest experiences of my life. Like it was. I'm glad I got to do Austin a few weeks ago because that one was really crazy. Like it a different kind of crazy. There was I think probably a few more people there, just it's a bigger room. But and I was talking. I was at first I thought it might freak me out, but I looked to the side and there were two of the guys from the fourth wall, literally, like the first row on the stage, right to the side of me. And I even said, oh, shit, Eric's here. It made me feel kind of almost at home. Like, it made me feel safer because, like, those two guys
right,
were there.
You
magic leaf.
Yeah,
and they took the ride. I fucked up. I was, when I was high, And this was a little scary when you kind of like blank on what you wanted to say.
Oh yeah.
And it's obvious. Like, I don't have the skills yet to like kind of make it seem like I didn't blank, and I forgot. But then it was kind of cool because I remembered later in the set, and that might have been the biggest laugh of the night when I said, "Oh, that's why I brought that up," and they went crazy. So that it was just a.
Did your leg shake? Was your heart beat?
Oh, my heart was beating.
Did you feel like puking? Did you?
Well, I don't know. So
you know, I just want to know.
Here's the thing:
what you were thinking.
I don't know exactly how much of what is to blame, but I had a really terrible Uber drive down there. The guy was doing like 45 down in Laurel Canyon, so I thought I was going to get sick. I didn't think I was going to be able to go on, but then when people started getting there, they were like, "Oh, that's just because you're doing the store." I was like, "Oh,
well, dude." A couple things I've heard you say. I just want to give you a congratulations on. The thing about the OR is that you have to be so much in the moment. And the fact that you just talked and recognize your friend and then you go back, you're like, ah, that's why I was bringing that up. That is what that room is. I've watched that room humble everybody.
Everybody.
Dave Attell, Daniel Tosh, everybody. I've only seen one person ever go in there and it was their first time doing it, or at least the first time I'd seen them do it, and they did well. And the God honest truth, the only person I've ever seen do it is Sarah Silverman, and she filed Caparello during his fucking, when it was like his star was at its brightest, and I was blown away by how well she went up there, because I'd never seen her, and I'd been at the store for about 5 or 6 years, night in, night out. She went in there. So the fact he went up there and you ate it a little bit, that is the basically the ritual that we all have to go through. You know, the jump in that becomes the OR, where you just have to go through it to get to it, man. And the fact that you got a laugh, it puts you in head of people I know who I have a lot. Aaron Cater, his first set there, went 15 minutes, not one audible reaction to anything he said. It's so fun to watch. And now he's a great comic, so that's nothing against him.
Oh, my God.
Just run.
And I've said it 1,000 times. When you go somewhere with down, when you go somewhere for a weekend and you have a great 5 sets with somebody, with Rogan, with Ari, and on a Sunday you go home, you took a nap, you're feeling good, you go, let me go down to the store. And you go up there with the same material verbatim, and you will die a slow death.
Yeah.
And it'll make you go home, and it's such a death that you don't even stand in the back. Like, you just go, you know what, I got another spot somewhere. You go somewhere and eat by yourself for a while. I've gotten used to it.
Yeah.
Like, I died so many times in the original room. Like, so many
times. Oh, yeah, dude.
There was like a 90-day stretch when I was adjusting to that 1245, 115 spot. That I was having doubts, like a lot of doubts. That's a doubt spot right there. But you can't cancel it. You're at the world famous comedy store.
That is it.
If you go outside and put a sign, I got a spot at 1:30 a.m., how many signatures would be on that fucking thing to perform on that stage?
Line around the door.
So I kept going up there, even though it was brutal. And I've said it 1,000 times. I had to follow Mooney. Or, and my real nemesis that I could not follow is that fucking Dom Herrera. And she'll put you behind these, and that's, you know, it's rough while you're living it.
Oops.
But afterward, you see the result of doing those. Like, even when I opened for Wheeler Walker in December, that's back to your roots. That's people standing up.
Yeah.
Before a band.
Survive.
That's surviving. That's just going up there and knowing you have to do, if you didn't learn from Bill Burr in Philadelphia, that's it. You go up there, you report for duty, you do, you sing, you stick to the hymn, they're throwing shit, you don't miss a beat, you're just ducking.
You're George Bush, you're ducking shoes.
You're ducking shoes and shit. I mean, it's really a gift. Like, I sit... on the drive home that night, Terry and I in the car, after we dropped off our friends, we're like, can you believe that's been 20 years of our lives?
Yeah.
Like, how many people can you... did you know, Sam, when you were getting on that stage in Las Vegas, did you know with fucking Jiu-Jitsu Man from Headquarters?
Yeah, Eddie Bravo.
No.
No. Oh, Steve Scott?
Yeah.
Scott Ross?
Weren't you roommates with him somewhere?
Oh, yeah, dude. For 10 years.
Yeah, so think about it. Did you ever think... I mean, we would see people come and go in this town. I've seen stars come and go. What made us think that we were going to fucking stick it out here?
Craziness. Well, I mean, we were just crazy. We were crazy enough to stay in it. We were crazy enough to be like, when we lost, it wasn't the, it didn't define us, and we just kept going. Now, for me, I have changed the what the goals are. You know, I feel like if you sit there and you're like, I got to be this, this, and this, you're going to drive yourself
crazy.
Yeah,
you got to change every 90 days. You got to reinvent yourself.
You
got
to be just like, dude, I am where I am, and I love where I am. You know what
I'm
saying?
The rent is paid. The lights are paid. There's food in the fridge. And I'm doing this off something that somebody said I would never be able to do. People told you that you were not going to be able to make a living doing this. I remember people, comics on the road going, don't move to LA, you ain't going to make a living.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but between the store, I feel like I did pretty okay. But then you were the first guy to give me a paid gig or like a real show. And then Red Band, I have the $20. He's the first guy to pay me for a gig. So it's...
It's cool,
like,
man.
Like, that stuff, I guess...
I'm glad you're doing it.
I guess that stuff would keep you going. Like, when you're saying, like, what made you think do it for 20 years? I'm sure it has to get bigger. It can't be just $20. But maybe in 2 years, I'll get to feature for somebody.
How about $5 wrinkled up with 2 drink tickets? Yeah. Wait till you get one of those, Lee.
I've been paid in drink tickets.
$5 and 4 drink tickets. And the drink tickets are gold. Like, in the world of open mic comedy... Psst, come here. I got drink tickets.
Yeah, I do.
How many? 6 of them. Don't tell nobody. Like when Felipe and Willie Barcena ran that room, that was the main attraction. If they didn't pay you $40, it was drink tickets. And you took those drinks to heart, Jack. You had money to tip. You were a gentleman. But there was a time in comedy where a drink ticket, like I used to get vouchers for Mexican food for next week. At what's the fucking place across from
the El Torito?
El
Torito?
In Colorado, when I first started, I mean, 48 miles away from where I lived on Thursday night. Sam, I still remember like stealing nickels. Like I was a car detailer, and I would steal a quarter from this car, a quarter from that car. This car had $3 bills. I'd take one. You know what I'm saying? So the guy goes, I thought I had three, but nah, nobody stole it. Maybe the wind blew. Like, I kept it like that just to fill up the gas tank.
I get it.
To get me there to pick up the $15 voucher and the $25 payment. And then with a $5, I'd tip him and I'd put $10 in the car. And that last $10 is what got me home with a smile in your pocket. You drove home with a smile in your fucking pocket.
One of the craziest nights of my life was I was paid in drink tickets. I was hosting a bikini contest at the Key Club, which is no longer the Key Club. I forget the name of it.
Here in Hollywood.
Here in Hollywood, dude. And, you know, I mean, I'm in my disease. I'm drinking hard, dude. Drink ticket. Drink Jack's. So we're doing a show, man, and I'm hosting, I'm bringing people up, and this one girl goes for gold. She fucking shows the monkey in the bikini contest. She bends over, shows everybody where baby, I mean, the fucking golden snatch, dude. And for me, that's all in with aces. You know what I'm saying?
You got 6 jacks in you. Yeah, you're Harvey Weinstein. You know what I'm saying? You're not responsible. They even tell you on the bottle of Jack, after 4 jack, you become Harvey Weinstein.
So I run the whole thing. They hand me the thing. I don't even read it because I think I read it wrong. She's number one. I see number one. I go, and the winner is number one. I put the crown on her. The fucking staff goes nuts. The owner of the club had rigged it. His girlfriend's supposed to win, and I read the wrong name. But I was so shit-faced, right? I read the wrong name. So they're like, wrong girl, you asshole. You gotta get the... Put it on the right girl because the owner's girlfriend was pissed. So I had to go up to this girl, take the fucking crown off her, and put it on the other girl who'd won. At that point, 2 giant security guards come and grab me, carry me out. And when I say they threw me out, I'm not lying to you. They threw me out. Go, you're banned for life from the Key Club. I'm like, fuck. I get in my car. I'm not even thinking because I can't believe it. I drive a block. I get pulled over by the cops. At this point, I'm like, well, today's the day. We go to jail. They go, hey, dude, what's up? I'm like, do you really want to know? They're like, yeah. And I tell them the story of the chick who showed her monkey. And I hand to God, they put me in my car and fucking gave me a police escort home to my fucking place. And they let me park my car and they didn't give me a DUI that night. And they made sure I got home. And that's a fucking true story because I made them laugh about the girl showing her fucking pussy to everybody that won a bikini contest. And that's the night I drank too much from drink tickets.
Let me ask you something, Sam. What was the craziest night you had in Vegas as an open micer? I mean, you were there with Scott and Stanhope. And
I mean, dude, like Stanhope came late.
Now, you were living in Vegas.
I lived in Vegas.
Okay. What were you doing for work?
I was a waiter by day, and I would do stand-up by night. And basically, well, you know, I've said this before, but there's...
I'm sorry, one more time. What year is this?
Well, I started going college out in 92.
You started doing what?
I started college in 92.
Okay.
And then it wasn't until about 3 or 4 years later that I started doing, or I'd say about 2 or 3 years later, I started doing stand-up. I moved out to Vegas because I thought it'd be a great place to start doing stand-up. And luckily, it wasn't. And I say that because I was such a crazy person back then. I was able to burn a bunch of bridges, and it didn't hurt my career. If I'd gone to New York, I would have been fucked, dude. I would have.
Me in Colorado.
I was a crazy guy. Yeah. I was like an Armenian, Italian, fucking just fire, dude. I was fire.
And drinking?
Oh, dude.
Powder?
No, you know, cocaine came a little later.
Later, okay.
Cocaine, but I love to drink.
And reefer? No reefer.
Some weed, but I was more of a... I'm a booze.
Yeah, you like
your booze. I'm a booze and coke dude. I love booze and coke. I love Jack and coke. If you throw a little snatch in there, Sam's a happy man. If I can get... Because the guy gave me a gift, two gifts, man. Gave me the gift of funny, and gave me three things. Gift of funny, hard work ethic, and I can get fucking erection on cocaine, okay?
That's all the time.
All, dude, straight rock up. Hard, Ginsu knife,
no,
shake.
No drama.
Bitches. No, nothing.
No,
dude.
Suck it again.
No.
That's a gift.
That is a gift.
Viagra bound?
No, dude.
Viagra.
Just all natural fucking pipe, dog. And
I found out a friend I grew up with in Union City just recently died from taking too much Viagra.
You can die?
Obviously, he took like fucking 20 of these things.
Oh, my God.
Something happened. I don't know the exact story. I was talking, this book came out, and I called a friend of mine, and we were talking. He goes, you know, he died about 3 months ago.
Oh, my God.
He fucking took Viagra's in a hotel with some chicken.
But how many?
I don't know, bro.
Like, is there a number? We need this number.
I wouldn't even take one of those things in my heart. I would not.
Well, they say call a doctor if it lasts longer than 4 hours.
No, I don't want to even put one in my fucking mouth. People hand them to me constantly.
What are you talking about? They hand you boner pills?
Bro, I got a guy. You understand
That's
me?
Gross.
I like just taking them at the... I see them at like Black Rhino, and then it's got some number. I don't even know what it means, like 50,000 kg. And I'm like, what does that mean? And then, of course, because I'm an addict, I like to pop them. And then my girlfriend finds, she's like, why are you doing this, dude? Why are you taking these boner pills? I'm like, honestly, because I'm just... a fucking crazy person, and I
you
think
take
it's fun. I think it's funny.
You take them?
Yeah, I'll take them.
Oh my god!
I tried a couple of like a few years, or like maybe way before Paula. I had like for some reason I had boner problems, so I took a couple then. But I haven't like it was Extends. Is what I bought at CVS.
Now you're good. Now you got a mean one.
Oh yeah, now it's fine.
Now it's angry.
Did Extends work?
Shanking bitches.
It made like. I only took them like once. I didn't take it like to grow it like the coach says to do, but I it made me feel kind of sick. Like it wasn't like a great.
Oh, if you take too much, you can get your legs are fucked up. You can get headaches.
I took one. I took them like twice.
I got enough problems. You know what I'm saying? I got enough fucking problems.
But you look the best I've ever seen you.
Yeah,
more than any time.
I fucking sleep. I fucking work at it, man. You know, you look at all the waste you have in your life from time to time. Like, I love doing comedy, and I love writing at night, but it comes with a price. You have to unwind. If not, you lay in bed, and you get more hyped up, and now you don't sleep. So to unwind, I watch TV, but sometimes you get into 2 episodes or something, or 3 episodes or something, and it's 2:30 in the morning. And at 7, I hear somebody waking me up, Dad. You know, and then you go do something, and next thing you know, you're fucking wiped out half the day, and you got to do a spot and another spot. And so I try to go to bed earlier, you know, I'm drinking water, That's it. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
And take care of yourself as much as you can. Relax.
You're doing it.
Don't do nothing you don't need to do. I don't ever. Some guy called me at one. Do you still want to meet at 1:30? I'm leaving tomorrow.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about? Yeah. You're going to get beaten by something. Where the fuck are we going? I got to go do a fucking table read and come up. And it's like I'm preparing for next week. I got 6 shows in Denver. Then I got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I got to do 22 things in 3 days. And now I got to shoot an episode if I'm lying up here. Am I crying? No, not at all. Why didn't this happen when I was 28? When I could snort through all this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like these next 3 nights, if I was snorting coke, it'd be all over. Like I'd already be
canceling,
making calls.
Not showing up.
No, I would show up because the package and the envelope was waiting for you.
Yeah,
it's right there. As soon as you land, the Mexican's at the hotel, sitting in a chair. He nods at you. I'm here already.
Yeah,
and I'll be here tomorrow at this time.
I love Saturday it. You're in dying laughing this What's week. That? You're dying up here. You're just shooting something.
I got a recurring role, 3 episodes.
That's great.
Yeah, so I shot 1 episode. I got to shoot another one. I got to shoot another one in March.
That's great.
So let's.
I'm super happy for everybody involved. They're great people.
Is it weird for you, Joey?
Do what?
Going back to Denver where you did all those drugs, or
not at all?
You don't get flashbacks or nothing.
Not at all. I'm not going to Boulder. I don't have the 2 hours or 3 hours to go to Boulder. So I don't.
You don't have to, dude.
I don't have that type of time. I'm headlining. I'm doing 2 shows.
No, but you did stuff in Denver or whatever.
You know, it's so. But I didn't know downtown Denver. Downtown Denver was a fucking desert when I was there.
Oh.
There was nothing there. Once the Rockies came and they built that stadium, then all that built up around it. They built a new airport. I don't know this Denver. I was there. I used to fly into Stapleton, the greatest airport in North America. This, what we're flying into tonight, is a fucking nightmare. There's a 3-mile walk.
Oof. Okay.
And then you got to get in the car for 40-minute fucking. It's a 40-minute fucking drive.
Those are the worst.
Saturday, we got to get breakfast before we get in that fucking car. That's a 45-minute fucking drive. And then you look at it and you go, "Who designed this?" Because if it snows, you're clobbered. You get stuck at that airport. It's not.
Is this the Denver airport?
Yeah,
it's shady as shit, dude.
This is, and they got, you know, this is like you. It doesn't. When you fly into Denver now, and you go, "Why are we 40 minutes from civilization?" The big joke is you fly into Kansas. You're like, "Why am I driving 40 fucking minutes into?" It's ridiculous.
That Denver airport's got a lot of shady shit involved with it. Guys, when you're walking around, look at all the artwork. It's very dark. Very dark.
It's beautiful. The fucking air. The best thing about that airport is you need for nothing. You can take a shower there. You can rent a hotel there. You can fucking work out there. They got a gym. You can eat a steak or you can eat fucking Burger King. You get your nails done. There's never a dull moment at Denver International Airport.
I respect the fuck out of that.
I remember one time when I got to analyze that, I was fucking dirt poor. I got scale plus 10, no plane ticket. Analyze that. I had a place to stay, and my friend gave me a buddy pass on Frontier Airlines.
Oh, God, Frontier.
That's like lending somebody a pen to write a suicide note.
Yeah, you know, for sure, like, dude.
Giving somebody a Frontier buddy pass is just like saying to somebody, "Oh, you're going to kill yourself? Hold on. Don't use the feather. Let me give you a fucking ballpoint." You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all that is.
Yeah.
They lost my, like, I flew in like a 10 into Newark or something crazy.
Oh.
And the audition was at 2, and they lost my luggage with the warm-up suit and the whole thing. So now I had to borrow money I didn't have and go get a warm-up suit.
Oh, man.
Sneakers.
Oh.
And then the luggage never came. The luggage, by the time I got to fucking Denver, I picked it up in Denver, but. Let me tell you what I did. I was so broke when I got on that plane. I didn't have any cigarettes. And I didn't give a fuck. I went right, the lady was looking the other way. I went right behind the counter and took a pick of Camel Lights. And I went right in the bathroom and lit up a fucking cigarette. I'm not walking no 3 fucking miles to smoke a cigarette.
They sold cigarettes on the plane?
At the airport.
Oh, at the airport.
Yeah, nobody could. Dude, back in our day, because you're a young guy. There was smoking on the airplane, and there was this magical thing that said, "This is the smoking section. This is the non-smoking section."
The back.
And there was no.
Nobody complained. Nobody got cancer. Nobody did nothing. Those are the days where you would get on a flight and you enjoyed flying because there was 600 degenerates on the plane just like you. Dog, I was thinking about this. About, and I'm not going to say from where to where, because then people have to fucking say the truth. But I'll never forget when I was doing, I'm not even going to say the year. There was a time when I was doing some creepy shit. I was going from Colorado to Jersey and trading guns for coke, and then I would fly back with the coke. But Sam, I went on a bender. Like, I stayed clean from January 1 of 85 to about April of 86, because a buddy of mine came out and said he was getting, he goes, snort this coke. He goes, I'm getting this for this price. What are they paying for shit out here? And he told me, I can make $1,000 an ounce and not even look at it. $1,000 an ounce. And not even look at it. That's how good this coke was. So I started snorting. You know, Sam, I went on a fucking... I went on a six-month tear. It was like in 6 months, I slept five nights. Legit. The other nights, it was like I did coke where you either not sleep or you sleep 3 hours, but it's cocaine sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't even go deep into your fucking system. So you're just walking. You're just a time bomb.
You hear the coke birds? Hear the coke birds? Oh, they just fucking mocking you. Good coke is like good food, right? You're like, oh, this is excellent. It just disappears, and you know, because when you do bad coke, your nose just goes, and you're like, oh, fuck, this is bad shit. I just snorted fucking paint thinner, right? You know, and then you get that good stuff. It just disappears, and everybody's feeling, and the ladies are feeling good, and that's the whole reason to do cocaine is let the girls let you do weird shit to them. They're just happy just to be on coke, and they're just like, yeah, whatever you want to do, light me up, and they're like, cool, man. You're like, oh, I love it. That's my problem, the sex addiction.
I'm fucking coked up on a 3-day bender, and I get on the plane in Newark, headed back. And I sit next to this fucking chick in the middle that is throwing heat, Jack. And you know, I don't talk. I'm coked up. I'm shy at that point. I don't want to say.
You're the only cokehead that doesn't talk, by the way.
I'm going to the bathroom doing little bumps by myself. And she notices and she starts talking to me. And on the sly, she asks me, do you got a blast for me? I go, hold on 1 second. I went to the bathroom. I had like a fucking ounce on me. I took a little out, put in a piece of paper, and I gave it to her. Go knock yourself out. This bitch started jawing on the plane. Next thing you know, we started drinking. Next thing you know, she started touching my leg. I'm like, this is fucking getting weird here. She was banging. If I was 22, she was 19, 20. She was a college student somewhere. And she was snorting. We were fucking high. And next thing you know, I'm fingering her under a blanket on a fucking plane. I never got her name or her number.
That's all I have
left. It was crazy. Like, it was, who do you meet on a plane and you're fingering them? She was grabbing my cock. She didn't jerk me off or blow me or nothing like that. Nothing. But it was just crazy. I was fingering this girl. That was the time I went to Denver Airport and my flight to Aspen was delayed. I got 9 ounces on me. So I said, what am I going to do on that at the airport? And I hid the coke in those lockers where you keep the key, like fucking get shorty.
Yeah.
And I would take like an 8-ball of the chunk, and I would go to the bar, and I'm just fucking drinking doubles. In those days, I was drinking that fucking whiskey and scotch doubles on the rocks. I mean, another one. Man. Don't touch the ice cubes. I'll fucking kill you. You know how much money I spent in quarters getting that coke in and out of there? I must have done an ounce at the airport that night. By the time we flew out the next morning, I was so fucking coked up.
Oh, dude, that's the worst.
I snorted with this music executive. We got fucking drilled at this airport. Then they shut the bar down at 3.
Oh, my God.
So we're at this airport, coked up. I mean, if it didn't stick out like a sore thumb... I don't know how the fuck I didn't get arrested that night. We didn't leave till the next morning at 8. I was tuned up. I got on that plane, tuned up. I started drinking Bloody Marys. That's what I used to drink in the daytime. I didn't give a fuck. Now I'm going to have a fucking pussy.
Do you drink still?
Yes and no. Like, I did a shot in fucking somewhere I was at recently.
Yeah. I don't drink, man. Once in a blue moon, I'll do a shot, Jack. But I don't really drink. I don't like it. I'm not a weed guy. Like I said, once in a blue moon, I'll do shrooms just to talk to God. You know,
how's the conspiracy podcast doing? I like you and your partner.
He's me and Ryan Davis, tinfoil hat with Sam Tripoli, got up to 120,000 last week with our YouTube video and our on our feed. So we'll see how it goes, man. You know,
it's going well. I never knew you were a big conspiracy guy.
I talked about this on Mark Maron's podcast, but I got into conspiracy. The first time I really knew there was conspiracy is when the Iron Sheik and fucking Hacksaw Jim Duggan got busted in a car together. Do you remember that? And they were supposed to be enemies, and then they fucking were caught drunk in a car, and I'm like, oh, fuck, there's something up here, dude. And then my dad always taught me, believe nothing what you hear and half what you see. And then I've always questioned everything. For me, it's just like I just enjoy knowing what's going on. It's not really that I'm trying to solve anything or right any wrongs. I'm just I just like to figure out the game that's being played. And it interests me. Like, I have two podcasts, Punch Drunk Sports, and I have Tinfoil Hat. And my whole days are, when I'm not working on stuff, I'm either going back and forth from, ESPN to Reddit. And it just interests me. I love all of it. I love all of it. I love hearing about it. I love talking about it. Sometimes rub some people
Bigfoot,
wrong.
Bigfoot, UFO.
Not you. I'm really in the money and power corrupts. That's my thing. You know, the Bigfoot stuff doesn't do much for me. I always have people hit me up. Not really my thing, especially being Armenian. I say leave the furry people alone. Let them do their own thing, right? UFOs, I think there's definitely something going on with that. But I'm really into the money and power corrupts. Eddie Bravo is the flat earth guy. We have this big show this weekend. I don't know when this comes out, but we have a big show this weekend, Friday and Saturday at the L.A. Comedy Club. It's the Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night. Me, Eddie Bravo, my buddy Reed Becker out of Houston, who says hello at the Secret Group. So the three of us are doing some stand-up in Vegas late night.
It's all conspiracy-laced.
It's a woven of a little bit. I mean, Eddie Bravo goes off, and it's fun to watch. And I go up there, and I do my conspiracy stuff. I have enough in there that, you know, I can get everybody rocking.
I'm a conspiracy theorist to a degree. But I don't have time to sit and argue for 3 hours.
Well, I get that.
Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I could sit at home and break it down by myself as they're spitting it out at me.
But I don't know. My problem is who to trust. So how do you figure out how do you figure out what's right?
Oh, there's a lot of that,
dude. I've been doing this show about Versace, right? Like, I was down there with Jim Florentine. As I was getting off the plane, checking into the condo, they were killing Versace in Miami.
Wow. Sorry, dude.
And we were both in Fort Lauderdale, Davie at the time, when they shot him.
Yeah.
So, I always knew there had to be a by the way. Nobody comes up to Sam Tripoli, a beautiful gay man that owns a clothing company, in the middle of the fucking day and just shoots you and creates this fucking manhunt all over South Florida.
Yeah.
There had to be something going on. But guess what? I'm a comic. I don't have time to be a fucking roving investigative reporter. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're not.
And all of a sudden,
you're not a PI.
And all of a sudden, I heard little tidbits. I used to work the Miami Improv all the time, and I would ask, what's going on? And I would hear little tidbits that it was crazy what was going on in there. Like, it was just crazy. You had a fucking mansion in South Beach. What the fuck do you think was going
Gay
on?
Gay man in South Beach with a mansion? A great, money? Getting money, fucking power. Crazy? I mean,
it was crazy. And at that time, you know, they had that badass club down there where on Monday nights was their busiest night. You couldn't get a flight from Kennedy and Manhattan into Miami on a Monday because of that one club that the gangster had, the one half a gangster. So Miami was very, very hot at
the
time.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And they just killed this gay guy at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I wasn't buying it. I didn't know. Like I said, I'm not an investigative reporter. You know, political stuff. Do you follow that type of stuff? That's what you...
Is that you think he was off by some powerful political people?
No, not at all. I think he was off by...
Scorn lover?
a scorned lover and somebody who, again, had mental health issues.
Yeah.
You know, mental health issues exist in the gay community like in any other community. In the student
too?
Community, in the comic, you know, we talk about it all the time, that what we do is a thin line of insanity. I mean, when you first started comedy, there was a place that you went to one night a week that became your home. Close your eyes, Trip. Close your eyes. Take your sunglasses off. This ain't an episode of Magnum P.I. Close your eyes and think about, remember that place that you used to go to that the list was kind of long? Like 26 people on a list and you're number 22. Do you remember that, Tripoli? Did you ever go to one of those?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember like number 8? He came every week and he would wear like a handcuff under a suit. And he'd talk about stuff that was normal, and then you have like 7 minutes. At the 4th minute, he'd start talking about child pornography. And he'd start talking about the dark side of child pornography and how it affected me. And you sit there and go, oh,
this guy's.
But at that time, nobody was shooting people. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like a comic's going to take a gun out and shoot the fucking audience at that time.
Right.
Now you got to be worried because there's a point of stand-up. Whoa. The store on Sunday nights 20 years ago.
Oh, dude, I've had so many.
Dinkler, remember the old man that went after me? That place is a thin line between they just let you out of one floor of the cuckoo's nest.
Right, right.
You know, and then you look at the other side of it. There's another side. Like, listen, I've been in a few movies.
Yeah.
I never wrote a show. I never pitched a show.
Right. You don't pitch shows ever?
I've been in this town for 21 years. I've had an agent for the last 5. Before that, I had some half-wit that I give him instructions and I do have to work. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get that.
Before who I'm with now, I just had guys that were posers. All they were I was a corrupt guy and they were the ones that made the calls.
Your dude is good.
But I would call them and go, hey, you know anything about the other? I haven't heard anything about it. Came out 2 days ago, and this motherfucking idiot don't know nothing about it. And I'm wondering why I'm in Alabama opening up for fucking Carrot Top this weekend on a fucking Indian resort. You know what I'm saying? So I used to fucking push the agents. When you're a good manager, when you're a great manager, by the time your agent gets to the office at 10 and he looks at his fax or his email, you sent 3 emails with 3 roles for him to get on it.
Right.
Let's go, Lee. Get on it. Not later. Not after you rub your... Now! Get on it! And I would call him at 10:01. Yo, what's going on? Well, I just got in, drinking my coffee. All right, well, when you drink your coffee, call fucking Jerome Bennett Casting in New York. They're looking for a plumber 3 days on a movie. I haven't seen that yet. Grab a pen. Grab a fucking pen. 10:01. Chop, chop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't care about the 4:05. You should have left 15 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
You know, I'm up working since fucking 9. You remember the days of the breakdowns?
Yes.
Did you ever get the breakdowns?
No, I used to get them slowly, but I used to just go through the motions in acting. I've always just wanted to be get paid to talk, and I'm doing that now, and I'm really excited about that. I mean, if I ever got something on TV, it'd be something where I could just talk. Or, like, now I'm shooting something with my good friend right now, David Deary. We're shooting it's called Mad Skills, and it's a skills video, but of weird shit. Like, you know, trying to, if it's a zombie apocalypse, how do you get a gun? You know, you got $2,000, but the gun costs $5,000, but your buddy has Coke, so you buy Coke, turn the Coke to buy the, you know, it's like this weird fun. That's what I'm into. I'm into talking. I'm not really an actor. I just never really cared. I just love talking.
Well, when I got here, my plans of being a stand-up were foiled because nobody wanted me. Montreal didn't want me. No comedy agency wanted me. There was an agency. I'm not going to say the name. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. This agency was horrible. And I remember they wouldn't even sign me. You know what I'm saying? Like, bad agents. Even guys that had horrible reputations would pass on me. So I had to do the every 90-day thing. I had to go for the lowest common denominator, the hanging fruit, as they say. Commercials. And I popped like 2 of those in the beginning to put a little jing in my nose.
Yeah.
And kept me in pork chops and fucking Whopper Junior. What's Wendy's? What's the Wendy's one? The Junior?
Yeah.
The cheeseburger?
From, yeah, the Junior.
Oh, the 99 cents menu?
Oh, the Junior Bacon Cheeseburger? Oh, yeah.
From 97 to 99 to 2000. That was my little 4 o'clock snack every day. 99 cents. with some fries and a
I
soda
lived up 59.
And a bowl of chili right there. You know what I'm talking about, right? On
you eat chili from Wendy's?
Oh, and they in 99. I love Wendy's. I would eat chili out of your assholes, Lee. You understand me? It was $15 a spot. I would eat chili out of your asshole. You understand me? $15 a spot and cocaine's 100 a gram. You do the math. I lived in my car, but the best meal of the day was an egg sandwich. I would open up the day with a nice fried egg sandwich from the Sunset
Grill. There's dollar sandwiches down the street from me, dog.
Where?
When I lived on Hollywood. Dude, I got to...
Dollar sandwiches?
Dollar egg sandwiches, dude.
Oh, no, okay.
And I would eat that shit all the fucking... When I first moved there, me and Scott Ross, we moved there. He didn't have money, dude. So we had to live in a weekly, which is one step above a homeless person. And I'm not trying to make fun of everybody's situation, but, you know, I was blessed. I'd worked really hard before I moved out. I had cash in my fucking bank account. So we're working hard, and... So this weekly, it was so hot at night, dude. I couldn't sleep. So I just get up and I still love walking. I live near Hollywood Boulevard. I love to walk the boulevard and just see the people, man.
That's when it was nasty.
Yeah. Well, that's why I loved it, because I like the shady shit.
If you lived in a weekly, you lived on like 5501 Hollywood Boulevard.
Well, I lived right around. They have a hostel that does stand-up. That hostel used to be a weekly.
On Schrader.
Yeah.
I lived in there.
Yeah.
I lived there.
Yeah.
And you could only stay for like 3 weeks in a row.
21 days.
Then you had to move to a different fucking hotel.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If I ever write a really dirty, 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 dirty book, there's a couple chapters that. But I will tell you what happened in that.
Oh, hotel. Let me just tell you this real quick, and then get in. So I would walk the boulevard at night because it was so hot, I couldn't sleep. Well, one day Scott's working at the Starbucks by the Saddle Ranch, right? He used to work there way back in the day
with the other chick. What was the chick's name that moved to Christy Miller?
Yeah.
Christy Miller used to work there. So she
Christy Miller used to give me hand jobs while we wait for show. She'd always give me a nice hand job as we were just sitting
don't
there. Because I was a shady motherfucker,
don't
right? So we were hanging out. Then we were doing Genghis Khan. There was stand up there. I'd sit down. She'd unzip and just start fucking jerking me off. And it was fun. So anyway.
That's terrible. That's Marlon Brando type shit.
Sorry, dude. So I'd walk in.
You're like Armenian Quincy Jones.
For sure, dude. So I get a knock. I get a knock on my door one day. It's the manager and these two giant black guys. And they're like, you got to move out, dude. I go, what? They go, you got to go now. I go, why? He goes, we don't have to tell you. I'm like, okay. So I get my ass kicked. I just grab my shit. So I start grabbing my shit. And the two black guys are like, oh, dude, this guy's really nice. What the fuck? And I go, can I just know why you're kicking me out? I'm going to go. He goes, yeah, you're a gay hooker, dude. You walk the boulevard at night and you're turning tricks. I'm like, no, I'm not. It's just hot as fuck in here and I can't sleep at night. Whatever. You're a gay hooker. You got to go. So they threw my shit on the fucking out on the lawn. They'd thrown out somebody else, but they did not go quietly, dude. And these dudes were just grabbing this guy and his girlfriend and just throwing him against the wall and threw them out. I'm like, fuck. Glad I got
it. Gates there and shit.
Yeah.
And then, so they had one apartment on Schrader.
Yeah.
And then they had the other one.
By the old Tower Records up there.
Right, up by where the pizza place is now. Yep. Across the street from the pizza place.
Yeah.
Lee, you have no idea. Oh, when I used to get that Taco Bell money, I'll never forget buying 6 packages for $100 from Chewy and getting a ride from an old comic friend from Seattle and stopping and getting like a 12-pack and splitting it. And I would go up there, and let me tell you something. If you stayed there for 6 nights, 3 of those nights, somebody would knock on your door. It was creepy, Lee. It was creepy. I had some fucking crazy shit happen to me in that building, but I will tell you what else happened in that building. I'm laying in the room one day, and the phone's ringing. Remember they had a payphone?
Yeah.
This is 97? Is that yours? Yeah, that's yours.
This one's mine. This one's yours.
No, that's yours.
Okay. Was this one yours?
No, you had that on the couch.
Okay.
It had to be 97, 98, maybe. I was snorting up a storm. And some fucking one night a chick just knocked on the door.
Oh, hey, yeah.
But I'll tell you what else happened to me there. I heard my name in the afternoon. Is there a Joey Diaz in here? I'm laying there watching TV on that. They used to have that furniture, that Lee, the rooms were a bed with like this old TV.
Dude.
I think is it like the Blues Brothers status?
It was dirty, and it had like a channel that was just like fucked up porn.
Yeah,
but dude. Not really. It was just like weird porn that ran all fucking. It was just disgusting. But it was a room in a town. I didn't have to deal with anybody, man. And they let you stay in there for 21 days. I was never in town for 21 days. I was always on the road then. So it really didn't matter.
And how much was it per night?
It was super cheap. Super like, you would cheap. You'd do a week. Like, it'd be like $100 a week.
So no you'd, way.
Yeah.
It was like
worth it, I guess.
And they had a bodega. And they had a bodega on the corner. Across the street, they had a check cashing place.
Yeah.
But do you remember if you went a little bit more west towards the beach, on the corner there, there was a diner type place, but they were known because on Saturday night they would do, what are men who dress up like women?
Drag queen shows.
Drag queen karaoke. Lee Syatt, lines around the fucking block.
Oh, they do that at Hamburger Mary's. It's packed out.
Still over there.
Because they light that shit up, dude.
That area used to be lit, and I remember going in there a Monday morning. Fucking coming down off an 8-ball of debt, you know, Sunday nights at the store. In the old days, Lee, Friday and Saturday didn't matter at the comedy store. It was what you brought on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was what you showed up
cocaine.
With on Sunday. Oh, my God.
So much fun.
I used to get lit up at the comedy store. I remember one night drinking that MDMA.
Oh, what?
And I was passing out and coming back to and shit and passing out and coming back to and. Oh my God, Sunday nights at the store used to be.
I love it, dude.
Let me give some shout outs real quick. Yes.
All right, give some shout outs.
First of all, I want to thank everybody who gave me a birthday shout out. You all did, the family. Thank you very much. 55, I don't believe it.
You're looking good, dude.
We're trying. Bro, I know people who look good drop dead the next day. Don't put the maluk on me. But anyway,
Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much. As a matter of fact, I brought the maluk with me. Look at this right here. This is a horn. This is a cornio. And you put fucking the maluk. I put a Jew maluk on it.
I'm going to be
fucking me from now. I'm not going to eat animals. I put the maluk on you and shit. This is the Jew killer right here. Anyway, my main man, Matt Holmeyer, Randy Villarbe, Donovan Salazarulo. You know I love you, cocksucker. Lizzie Durazgo, keep writing. Don't let them fucking take you down. My main brother, Sergio Ortega. My other brother, Danny Bianculo. Lexis Ardui. My main comic, Court McGowan. Jojo Padje. And that's it. You know I love all you motherfuckers. Don't forget. Do not forget. This weekend is sold out. There's nothing I can do about that. Thank you very much, Denver. Thank you. Next week I'm going to Alabama. And then March 21st, NIAC. I'm going into New York. The corporation gets released on the 20th, so I'll be in the city somewhere. I'll invite you motherfuckers if you want to come by and pick up a copy. Maybe TJ signs it for you, whatever you want to do. I don't know how it's going to go down. I'm speaking out of line. Anyway, but the 21st, the next night, I'm at NIAC at one of my favorite clubs. Last time I was there, somebody heckled me. They got up. They went to the bathroom. 5 guys came in and hit him in the head with a bottle. That's what I'm talking about. That's church family strong. You know what I'm saying? That's NIAC, New York.
That's had me before, dude.
What's who do you represent? 607?
607 for life, 607. Homeboy. My buddy Anthony, I was doing stand-up, and this guy was just heckling me. And the dude's like, my friend's like, this guy who's a fan of mine, he's a friend of mine now, but he's like, dude, shut the fuck up and try and listen to this guy. This guy's like, I can say whatever the fuck I want. Boom! Drops this guy, right? This dude who got dropped, his girlfriend starts screaming at me like I caused it. She's like, you motherfucker. She goes, I know you're CIA. I know you're FBI, motherfucker. And she throws her bottle of beer at me. And I just go, just dodged it. Kept doing stand-up as they threw her the fuck out, dude. Happens all the time, dog. People come up on stage, want to rumble, dude. I was talking about one time I was at the comedy store, and this drunk Australian chick is like giving our Brody shit. So Brody brings me up, and this time Brody did like the, you ever follow comic who like introduces you, but it's like a 5-minute introduction where he's working a couple more jokes as he's going, and you're like, let's go, homeboy, let's go. So I'm like, Brody, bring me up. And like, so we have this weird interaction, and he's leaving. All of a sudden, this Australian chick starts screaming at me, dude. She's like, you're not fucking funny, laying into me for 5 minutes. you know, all the fucking all the guys who worked at the Comedy Store at the time were all little emo fucks with skinny jeans, couldn't stop anybody, right? I don't know where this white girl from the corner gets up, man, walks over this girl, grabs her, goes, enough of you, turns her around, smacks her on the ass, hand to God, picks this chick up, throws her up over her shoulders, and walks this girl out. At the Comedy Store. Walks her down the stairs, puts her on the patio, tells her not to come back in. I'm like, who the fuck are you? She's like, I'm just watching a show. I don't know where a car full of five black guys, this is a true story, pulls up, grabs this white chick, throws her in the car, fucking takes off, dog. We don't know what the fuck happened to that chick.
Nothing good.
And nothing good. Probably on Pornhub right now.
She's on the fucking 170. So you throw those little dirty bitches up there in the 170 by that one stop there.
Yeah, dude.
That's fucking rotten bitch corner there.
Someone's going to put that on Google Maps now.
You know, it's crazy how many wild things. Like, I wasn't there for the shootings and the...
What?
But I was there. Like,
oh, dude. Did you hear this story, dude? The reason there is nobody... Everybody makes a joke that the reason nobody else got killed was Tiffany Haddish ran the light so long, and the fuck... Every time she talked in the fucking roast battle, she would go on for 5 fucking minutes. The show ran over 30 minutes late because Tiffany Haddish wouldn't stop talking because she was shit-faced. God bless the queen. She's killing it. But she talked... That's when the shooting happened because nobody was downstairs because we were all waiting for Tiffany Haddish to wrap up her summaries of the fucking roast battle.
Dude comes up. Boom, boom.
And everybody was upstairs.
And they never caught him.
Oh, dude. They had that shit set up. They knew exactly where to park that car so nobody could chase him.
Listen, that's a great spot to shoot. I've always said the Comedy Store
Jesus, Joey.
Is a great spot to ice somebody.
Well, that's what they used
now,
to do back
now
then.
Now they got cameras in there. Now you're fucked unless you know exactly where the cameras are. And we spray paint the lens or knock them down. But the Comedy Store would, if I had a beef with somebody, he said one of your jokes or he called your mother fat.
I get that all the time.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you had to get sent on a mission to fucking kill somebody, but you had to plan it out like Charles Bronson and The Mechanic. And you had to get them to the Comedy Store because. You know, like when in the original Mechanic, Charles Bronson plays a Thor. That's what they just in the resurrection, whatever. I wouldn't see it, but I know it's just about a guy who kills people. That's not what the character of the Mechanic was. The character of the Mechanic was to figure out how to do you with the least amount of damage. When he got an order, it was either messy or we got to make it like so. He would look at your records and know you had a weak heart. So while you were fucking on the beach, he would shoot at you. You know, but you're a bad guy anyway. He would shoot at you, which would make you run and have a heart attack instead of shoot at you. So people would say, we heard guns go off, but why'd he die of a heart attack?
Right.
Just, it's a different way of icing somebody.
Science.
But if somebody came to me and they were like, you know, you have to kill Lee. And I knew Lee was an avid comedy fan. Somebody says his weakness is comedy. He spends a lot of money up there. He's
prop comedy, probably.
He's fucking one of the young girls up there.
Banging him.
And he hangs out up there on Saturday nights with one bodyguard.
Probably holding Liza Schlesinger's dog.
That's where I would get him. Or I would get him in the way of, if he's married, I would just call his house and say, you won 2 tickets to the Comedy Store. Come on down. And then... Put fucking, pay one of the waitresses to put a pill in this fucking thing that makes him piss and stab him in the bathroom. In the old bathroom, in the original room, when you had to get up and go back there, that was the perfect place to ice somebody. And
right.
There was 6 feet back there, and it was always dark, and the light would bounce off the red wallpaper. I would sit there every night, dog, in that corner and watch comics. And unless you're fucking retarded, unless the comedian is not funny, you would look to the left. Lee doesn't know what we're talking about because he never saw the store before they constructed that. That used to be wide open, Lee.
Oh.
Where they put a table against the wall, that used to be wide open, so yeah. I could walk straight through the main room. So no matter how dark it was in the original room, that little hallway there was gold. If you wanted to ice somebody, it would be like that scene in Scarface. I would make you get up, and as you walked into the men's bathroom, I would make Sam walk out and tell you, they're all packed in there, you got to use this bathroom. And as you made it to the fucking thing, I'd pop out like Pacino in Scarface for the friend you fucked and stab you in Scarface. Just stab you right there and just leave you and nobody would see it.
For the friend you fucked.
By that time, it's 1 a.m. There's maybe 18 people in the main room. There ain't nobody in the back of the main room. Guy drops like he had a heart attack. And you walk out of there like nothing happened. You put a cap on. As soon as you hit the door, you all walk three different directions, or 2 years. Nobody knows nothing.
Nobody says
anything. That was the hallway. I used to look at that hallway every night and go, boy, I hope that fucking, like, one of my enemies is in that hallway one night, because I know exactly how to get this. That was the hall. And if not, you could ice them in the bathroom. You got no escape. You got no escape in that area. Trust me, I used to be angry when I first got to the comedy store.
Me too, dude.
And I would look at ways of icing people. Like, for years, I would look at different ways. How would you ice this guy if you had to ice him? Just as homework. Just to jog your memory, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just to see you if you still have those muscles.
Run the scenarios.
Yeah.
Run the scenarios.
Like, I was watching, what was I watching? Hota Hota. And there was this drug deal, and they said, you cannot get to him. It's impossible to get to him. All those guys have a mistress. And they all sell their pussy to the highest bidder. Well, he was banging his mistress. They came out of the closet and fucking kidnapped him right in front of his bodyguards. There's always a weakness in their fucking...
Where there's a will, there's a way.
And you're right there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what I'm...
So you got to break that shit down, though.
No, but the comedy store was always like when I was in my angry part of my life. Like, I remember one night being up there and there was a particular individual up there who I went off on years later, and I saw him in the main room. This was way before I went off on him.
Right.
And in my mind, it just dozed off in my cocaine craziness. If I was to ice this guy, this is how I would do it. Remember when OJ wrote the book?
Yeah. If I was about to do this shit.
Same thing. It's just stupid fucking
thing. You're just shanking.
No, I didn't do it, but if I did, like that was a book. That's crazy.
Shanking people in the main room by people back in the day were fucking all over the place.
What happened to Playboy Radio? Let me know what happened.
Well, this basically
what used to be big over there.
Yeah, like they used to run my show 17 times a week. We would record, myself, Vicky, Gareth Reynolds. Gareth went on to be part of the Dollop, and the Dollop is fucking killing it. And then I would, you know, Vicky now doing, I think she's doing a bunch of podcasts now.
Yeah,
stuff
Vicky Pezza, she's doing great. Yeah.
Yeah, she's killing it. And so we've all kind of, it just kind of hit, you know, we kind of did it. You can only interview so many transsexual midgets before you're like, I've done it. You know what I'm saying? But Playboy, the big thing about Playboy was that, I think it became a loss leader for this company called MindGeek. And MindGeek was this, allegedly, was this company that owned all the tube sites, right? You know, like YouPorn, RedTube, Pornhub, all those people. And I think they were just making a lot of money, and what happened was the big fallout was that Sirius Radio wanted more porn stars on Playboy, and Playboy's like, oh, that's not our brand. And this was done by a gentleman, I'm not going to say his name, but he made a fatal decision that in a fight with Sirius, he's going to pull it off Sirius Radio, and that was the beginning of the end. And they had the most beautiful – they had the best studio. I was on Howard Stern twice. I've seen Howard Stern's studio. The Playboy – Radio studio was just as good.
I forgot all about that. I thought about that about a year ago. What happened with Sam being on Howard Stern? I mean, Lee, this is, he had a TV show on Spike. He was on Howard Stern twice. I mean, you know, this guy's bulletproof. And still fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, he gets up every morning like it's a beautiful day to be alive. He knows that there is something in it. He can't go nowhere now. Where are you going to go?
No.
Where are you going to go? Who's going to take you now? You're in it now to your fucking... What's the old dude that comes out that has the radio show on Sunday night? Gentleman of Comedy?
Frazier Smith.
Dude, I did a charity event with that kid. That man. He did... we did a Skid Row during All-Star Weekend. Charles Oakley, growing up back in the day, Knicks Patrick Ewing, one of my favorite players of all time.
This last time?
Yeah.
This last weekend?
Yeah. I went down. It was me, Sean Joshi, Fraser Smith. And, dude, that guy annihilated with these young these people who are in bad places in their life. And, you know, you go down there, man, you see people hard times. Like, we are blessed that we did a lot of drugs and we didn't end up there. That we had a work ethic that was stronger than our drug ethic, you know? And that some people fall through the cracks, man, and they're, for the grace of God, go I. So whenever I ask, like, I'm doing Vegas this weekend, dude. I'm flying back 9:30 to go in the morning I get back at 9:30 to do a charity event. I'm feeding people.
Do you remember when you would go to Vegas, a sore town, and you wouldn't even get a return flight because you knew it was that type of party weekend? Like, there was a time, 2002 to 2006, when I went on the road. Like, I would stay clean 2 days before I went on the road because I knew it was going to be every night. They already were waiting for me. I knew exactly where to go. They were going to drop it off during the first show on Wednesday night. It was it was just craziness. Like, it was fucking craziness. And now you go into these towns, you do your show, you go right back to your hotel room. You watch TV.
I like to sleep, dude.
You sleep. You read a book. You fucking write jokes. You know, in the old days, I used to sleep all fucking day, get up hungover, eat. I wouldn't exercise. I wouldn't do shit. I would walk to the restaurant and fucking eat like a cocaine hangover.
Oh.
You know, where you would just eat like two breakfasts, fucking four slices of toast. Yeah. Every one of them had one of those things of butter on it.
Yeah, the little round thing?
A whole thing of
scoop.
And then I would drink like freshly squeezed orange juice.
Feeling healthy.
Which in my mind would make me be healthy. What are you talking about, cocaine? I drank a gallon of orange juice this morning. Did you go for a walk? Why would I go for a walk? I drank freshly squeezed orange juice.
Do you ever take allergy pills for your runny nose? So your nose wouldn't be so blocked. And then you wake up and it's like the desert in your nose just dry because you don't really have any problems. You thought?
No, I would always take coke like fingertip with my finger. And I would always dip it in the coke. And just shove it in my nose, and you give it a couple minutes, and that's draining. That opens up everything. If it's real, within 2 minutes, you'll be fucking breathing, smelling farts from 1973. You know what I'm saying?
Does coke cure the cold?
Coke cures everything. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry about nothing. You got the bronchitis, do a line. Run with it. Who gives a fuck?
Run with it.
You took a flu shot, didn't you? Take a chance. Columbus did. What the fuck?
Oh, my God.
Coke, it didn't matter. Like, when I was 20, I'm... 21, 22, it didn't matter if I had a cold. It didn't matter nothing. If somebody had a line and we had a potential to get down, the cold went away right away. That's why I know it's all in the mind.
It is, dude.
Because I lived through it. That's why when people tell me shit, I sit there and I go, what are you talking about? I lived through it. I flew. What fucking flew? And I'm not going to lie to you. I ended up fucked up a couple of times. I couldn't. One Christmas, I was sick for 3 fucking days. I couldn't move out of a bed. But that had been after 6 months of being out like a fucking animal. This kid, Anthony Sabatino, took me home. And everybody in those days knew if you took me home, you didn't know when I was going to leave. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you took a chance taking me to your house and feeding me, even though it was Christmas and shit. But I grew up with Sabatino. He took me to his house, and I laid there for 3 days. I slept. That's how hard I was going in those days.
I get it, dude.
I tell Lee all the time, 29, you're worried about sleep. At 29, I didn't even know what a blanket was. I slept wherever. Right there. Go ahead. Take a nap for an hour. You'll be fine. Tip-top Magoo. You brush that tooth.
A tip-top Magoo, dog.
Shit.
Tip-top
Magoo. You have no
doing
idea.
Doing gackers.
Oh, my God.
Girls letting you get weird. Dude, that was my favorite. Just the thought of it. Just is like, oh, such a fun time.
Yeah, it was sexual harassment, Bill.
Oh, dude, my cocaine. Moves. Cocaine. I used to ring the doorbell. That was my opening cocaine. Move. Like, talk to a girl, ring the doorbell.
What do you mean that's your opening move?
I like, hey, hello. I grab her clothes. I'm close. You know, there's something there. Ring the doorbell. And now you can't do that shit no more.
Yeah,
it's like the 18th move, I thought.
No, dude. You got to know when they want to seal the deal. You know, when you know that, you got to go in. You know, chicks like knuckle draggers. They want gentlemen knuckle draggers. They don't want the dudes running through the airport fucking, you know, crying about how much they love them. You know, they want respect, but they want grown-ass men who are fucking cavemen who are fucking show some respect, you know? But they want grown-ass...
How long have you been with your girlfriend
for? 15 fucking years, dog.
15 years?
Yeah, I Google how to fake my own death daily, but I love her to death, dude. I love her.
You live with her?
Yeah, we've lived together. We got a dog I love that dog. Pollyanna stinks majinx, you know? I love that dog. And the little fatty, too. She runs. It's so funny to watch her run because she's a little chunky. I love it.
Did you ever dream you'd still be doing this 20 years later?
You know, man, I don't ever remember dreaming of like being
anything, nothing. Like,
dude, I flunked first grade, dude. They didn't expect shit from me. My parents were looking around for the receipt.
And you went to college. You have a degree.
Yeah, I got a degree from UNLV.
I mean, you're a smart guy. I mean, you know,
I'm not a test taker though.
I can take you. I can put you. You're the type of guy I could drop you off on a corner with a dollar, and pick you up at five, and you got $15.
Yeah,
and you ate lunch.
Yeah.
You follow me, you figured it out, and you got new sneakers for yourself.
For sure.
You brought home a five for Papa, and you got sneakers. Everybody's happy. You
know Everybody's happy.
No, and that's what I've seen you, like, one of the greatest quotes I ever heard about you. You kept that. I don't know what I was doing at the time. It was like every time you did that fucking show on a Thursday, I was out of town. I have my friend owns VMAC. He's a really good jiu-jitsu guy, John Budd. And every time he does something, I'm either off by an hour or I'm gone for the weekend. We just, this weekend he's got a great seminar over there with, I think, I don't know, Joey Haas and somebody else. And I saw it and I go, God damn it. I've been sitting here for 3 weeks. Nobody does dick. All of a sudden I'm about to leave and he wants to fucking have a seminar. That's the story of my life too.
Story of my life.
I'm surprised. I'm the only reason why I'm looking at this thinking, when is the audition going to come in? There it is right there. No. Thank God. I'm sitting there going, when is the audition going to come in that they need on tape by tomorrow at 1 o'clock to really fucking burn my craw? You know what I'm saying? And it's perfect for me. And it's not bad enough that you got to be on a fucking stage at 8 o'clock at night and do two shows on a Thursday.
You got to shoot something sent to them?
What's that?
You got to shoot something sent to them? Is that most auditions now? They like put it on camera?
If you're going to fucking call me, okay, and
tell
me, put an audition on tape at 3:30 in Beverly Drive, I'm going to ask you. Can I ask you a personal question, Sam?
Sure.
Are you sending this to the producers or are producers going to be in the room? The producers are not going to be in the room. Okay, so I'm going to go down there into Beverly fucking Drive at 3:30 for something I'm not sure of. Well, guess what? Right around the corner here on Laurel Canyon, there's a kid that you go in there, he puts the timer on, 20 minutes. You sit on the other side, he puts a camera on you. He gives you one of those things that you sing, you know, those conductors that put music?
Yeah.
You put your sides on there, and he tapes you, he slates you. You do it. Within an hour, you have your audition.
Oh, that's great.
Right at the fucking house, and then you send it to your agent.
Perfect.
And guess what? It's the same fucking thing. It's the same fucking thing.
So do it.
And it saves you 3 hours.
Three hours. I did it. That's how I got Am I Lying here. They called me a year ago to come in for an Italian tailor. One day shoot for a fucking tailor. I'm a stand-up. Why would I want to? I'm a stand-up and it's a stand-up show.
Right.
Why would I want to fucking be a tailor?
Right.
So I said, nah, I'm good. Thank you very much. I'm busy that day. Again, that was one of those drives into the mouth of hell. You know, I don't, if I'm home for the week, I'll take the drive. When I'm home for a whole week is when I do podcasts for people. I got time to spread my wings. Yeah. Monday through Wednesday, I ain't got much time.
No, I get that shit.
I got the kid, I got to go swimming, you know. I got ballet tonight, you know what I'm saying? So, you just don't have the time. So if you're just going to make me go down there, is this for producers, for a pilot that we're going to shoot? And this is real money we're talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm there with the shoe shine.
Right.
I got toenail polish on. My fucking nuts are fucking shaved. I know my lines, and I'm giving it hell. I'm giving it hell right now. I love those rooms. When I walk in, then there's four motherfuckers in there, and I get them going in there, and I get them going before the lines even come out.
Getting laughs.
Once they start talking to me about something, I take them through a journey of psychological abuse, and then the lines are on, and now even though I don't get it, they thought about me for two days before they pulled the trigger.
I got a story for you.
Yeah, they pulled the trigger. They made me. They were like, wait a second. Before we pay this guy $60,000, let's look at this guy again one more time for fucking the small. You know what I'm saying?
I go on this audition. We're doing this audition. We're just kind of slating everything. And this guy's having conversation. And somehow it's brought up, like, how do you want us to do this? He goes, I don't know, man. I think you should do whatever the fuck you want to do. We had this motherfucker in last week. This guy's dropping N-bombs on fucking everybody. And, you know, the producer, the casting director's like, you'll never work in this town. You'll never work in this town. You're fucking dead. Gets a call from the director. He fucking booked that motherfucker. Who do I find out it is? Joey motherfucking Diaz fucking is the guy that they were talking about that booked this fucking gig to start dropping N-bombs in the middle of the audition, and the fucking casting director went nuts, but the people above them fucking loved it, and you got the gig. That's a fucking real story I fucking heard in an audition.
For a video game.
Probably, dude. I don't know where it is. You start dropping N-bombs, and the casting director's like, I don't know. You're never going to work in this town. And the director's like, hire that motherfucker!
In an audition, you got to push the envelope.
Got to go for it, dude. But
if you don't push the envelope, you're not going to get the role. The director wants to see you push the envelope.
Ask for forgiveness, not permission, dude. Go big in the hole. I tell people when they do the audition, for the podcast, just be out. You don't have to worry about funny. Just be outrageous. Go hard in the paint.
Go hard. Make them fucking have to look at you tendon.
Fucking
bring
hard.
Them back in again. Sam, thank you for coming on.
Anytime, dude.
Swim class. Where are you performing again?
Okay, so tomorrow night, Thursday, the 22nd, I believe it is, I'm doing the Naughty Show. Penthouse presents the Naughty Show live at the LA Comedy Club in the Stratosphere. I got Kenna James, Penthouse Pet. We're giving away Topco vibrators for all the ladies.
And there you go.
And then the fucking next night, Friday and Saturday night, Eddie Bravo and I and my buddy Reed Becker were doing the Tim Foy Hat Comedy Night, Conspiracies and Comedy, all night, LA Comedy Club, 11:30, Friday, Saturday night. Go to the LAComedyClub.com. And finally, March 25th, I'm shooting my special at the Viper Room. It's called Zero Fucks. And we're shooting two shows. I believe it's going to be 7:30 and 9:30. So I think it's only going to be 100 people in each show. So let a brother know, because I'm hand-picking these motherfuckers. Some chick's nice like, touch. I'm bringing like five of my friends. I'm like, no, dude. You bring you and one other chick that you know is dead on the inside and isn't going to be getting offended about anything. I'm hand-picking every motherfucker in here.
Nice touch, bro, the Viper Room. I like your fucking style. Sam Tripley. Let me drop something on you. And I'll let you go. I know you got things to do. It's Thursday. You're like, Joey, what the fuck are you going to talk about? I'm going to talk about shaving, all right? When I shave, I ain't fucking a handsome dude. So I got to get the most out of my fucking gear this year. You follow me? I got to get the most out of my money. I love Harry's. You're like, why, Joey? I'll tell you why. The blades, the closeness of the shave, the comfortable glide. Listen, Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price. Why? Which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys, were fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades. They started Harry to fix shaving. Harry stripped out the unnecessary features, all right, and the unnecessary costs to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. All right, so and all the products are backed by 100% quality guarantee. A good shave comes down to good blades. Because Harry's owns the factory, they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to $4 or more you pay over at the drugstore. You understand me? So listen, Harry's is so confident. You're going to love their blades. They're going to give you a trial shave kit for free. Gratis. Nada. Free. When you sign up at harrys.com/church, you just got to pay for shipping. No big deal. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. $13 value for free. When you sign up, just cover the shipping. That's it. You get a weighted ergonomic razor handle. You get 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade. Are you kidding me or what? Rich lathering shave gel, 5 precision engineered blades, and a travel blade cover. Who's better than Uncle Joey? I got you covered. Go get your free trial at harrys.com/church. That's harrys.com/church. Lee, look at you. You're looking like NC in the world. We haven't even gotten to Denver yet. I can't wait to see your face Friday. You're going to be on the phone with Mom thinking about going back to fucking Israel or something like that. Anyway, let me explain something to you, all right? Listen, Squarespace is a tremendous... I love it. I love everything about the idea, everything that they do. You know what? You got this idea in your mind. Maybe you want to sell something that you create. Turn your cool idea into a new website. Showcase your work. Blog or publish content. Sell products and services of all kinds. Promote your physical or online business or announce an upcoming event or special project. Listen, analytics help you grow in real time. They got a built-in search engine that's optimization with free, secure hosting, nothing to patch or upgrade ever, and 24/7 award-winning customer support. You're going, Joey, who are you talking about? I'm talking about Squarespace. Squarespace does this by giving you beautiful templates created by world-class designers. Powerful e-commerce functionality lets you sell anything online. Everything optimized for mobile right out of the box. So listen, what I'm going to do is this. Head over to squarespace.com. You got an idea. You got an idea. Let's go for it. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. You know when you're ready to launch? Right now. Enough of sitting there, scratching, thinking about the future. What's going to happen? Who cares? If you don't give it a shot, how are you going to know? Go to squarespace.com. Use offer code CHURCH and save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's it. It's time for you to make the move. That's squarespace.com. Enter code CHURCH. I want to thank my man Boom Boom Tripoli. Don't forget, I'm in Alabama next week. Huntsville, I'm coming in big off a fucking plane with a parachute. It's all over. And then I'm going to fucking Levity Live and fucking Nyack, the home of the Witness Relocated. Anyway, I love you motherfuckers. I love Sammy Trips.
I love you too, buddy. Thank you very much
for coming on.
Anytime, all the time.
Lee Syed, don't forget about me. You know the Jews love me. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you guys this weekend in Denver. Stay black.